Chapter 1, My Grit Meets His Beauty, Finding God Where We Least Expect Him. For Christ plays in 10,000 places. Gerard Manley Hopkins, as Kingfishers Catch Fire. Life is a total of minutes spent, attaching a Band-Aid to a child's wound, turning off the outdoor lights before bed, lugging the overloaded grocery bag to the kitchen counter, sending a text message, sifting through a stack of mail that's full of advertisements, powering off the computer, applying mascara. At 15, when I gave my whole life to Jesus, I didn't consider that living the radical life for God would one day call forth minute-by-minute faithfulness of me. I gathered my 15 years like a stack of files and foisted them on the one who'd been watchful in exchange for a notepad we would fill with our adventures together. At 15, surrendering my whole life and my whole heart meant the big picture, not the minutiae. After all, I could remember only 4 or maybe 5 of those 15 years. I imagined that Christianity was lived in broad strokes as a highlight reel. Minutes were what happened in between. The house was quiet, exhaling after the tussles of the day. I settled into my chair and heard the ominous creak of an upstairs bedroom door, the one that needed a shot of WD-40 that we never found the time to apply. Her feet were light and slippered on the stairs. I knew who it was before I saw her. She said, "Mommy, every time I have a really happy day, I get really afraid afterward." She was 10 and she was 30, afraid of the dark and self-aware enough to know the pattern of her fear. We adopted our 4 oldest from Africa at various ages, though none still wore diapers when we held them for the first time. In 2 years, we multiplied from Nate and me to us plus 4. As each child came into our fold, we had one thing in common, the ache of a life that felt out of time. They'd lost the innocence of childhood before they lost their first tooth, and Nate and I grew gray hair as we waited, not by choice, to grow our family. In one sentence, my daughter touched humanity's flitting response to joy. We don't know what to do with it. And our response to him, we don't know what to do with his nearness, which reaches closer than our skin. She didn't know about my wrestling with fear. After 12 years with an empty womb, I birthed a baby who threatened to incite more fear in his living than I experienced in the decade of wondering whether I would ever heal enough to carry him. After he was born, I asked in celebratory wonder, "Did this happen? Did I really birth this child?" Yet in the next breath, I feared that this would be the day that he might not wake up. It was just like what I had done with her during the first few months after we adopted her. I'd stare at her vibrancy across the room, still unable to grasp that she was mine, only to fear losing her. Too good to be true is humanity's response to God's gifts and to the God who doesn't just hold the files of our lives, but also writes them and studies them. What I told my little girl that night was no different from what I'd barely grasped myself. Adore him here. "The joy of the Lord is my strength," I told her, quoting Nehemiah 8:10. Adding, "Don't focus on what you're afraid of, but look at God." With each of our 7 children, Lily, Hope, Eden, and Caleb, who came to us through adoption, and years later, Beau, Virginia, and Charlotte, whom I held in my womb, fear haunted me. 3 teenagers, a child in the in-between years, a 5-year-old, a toddler, and a babe, all gave opportunity for fear. Fear is ignited in more than one life stage. How many times did I shut the door to a room behind me and unthinkingly given over to fear the 1-minute walk to the kitchen? Dishes to do and phone calls to make and other children's needs to meet.